the job of Air Boss, as seen through the eyes of one of the industry's best. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. We're a little over 2 weeks out from the annual convention of ICAS, the International Council of Air Shows. The U.S. air show calendar is now entering its off-season, and the focus at ICAS on a look ahead to next year makes this a natural time for self-reflection within the industry. Recently, Aero TV sat down with Ralph Royce, aviation legend, pilot, warbird jock, and airshow expert, to discuss the job of an air boss and his reflections on almost three decades in that role. We'll hear his comments today. At an air show, an air boss takes over control of the wavered airspace from the FAA for the duration of the event. What does he do then?
The easiest analogy is a conductor. I am the conductor of the symphony. Now, you know, you write the score, you practice the score, and then you say, go and stop. And you brief it up in detail. The key is the briefing. I've been teaching for several years at ICAS, and people have heard me say over and over and over again, the key to a good air show is the briefing. And the air boss that gives a good briefing can take a mediocre air show and make it a great air show. And the air boss that has a great air show and butchers the briefing will have trouble. When the flag drops, there is one guy who is running it. And they will quickly find out whether you are competent or not. And the object is to get them confident enough in you to say, somebody break left now, and they break and then look, rather than look and then break. And the pilots will know that within minutes. It's how you control the show. It's the language you use. It's the declarative voice. It's the absence of unimportant information, dealing with important information. They both respond to the same type of control. If one comes out and says, they ask you what's next and you say whatever you like, you've lost them. They don't want to have to make decisions. They're flying. You make decisions for them. You don't fly their airplane, but you make the decisions. Well, I was flying warbirds, and one year I was not scheduled to fly that day, and the air boss and the people who had hired him got into a severe conflict. And since it wasn't my day to fly, I was asked if I could run the air show. And I said, well, I'll give it a try. I hadn't even gone to briefing that morning. And I gave it a try and found out I kind of liked it. And as I did more shows and got a technique going, I found out I was fairly decent at it. And 26 or 7 years later, here I am. Started with maybe 3 a year. This year I'm doing 21, which is too many. And we do shows from, a 10 airplane, 3-act show to Wings Over Houston and larger shows. Oh, I'm an Air Force brat. My grandfather was a flyer in World War I and World War II. My dad was in World War II. I started flying warbirds in about 1970 some odd and had a few hundred hours and then did the trick with the, it's not your turn to fly, can you run it? And I said, sure. And there you are. But I was an Air Force brat. I soloed it at one of the air bases in the Aero Club airplane 100 years ago. I was very pleased to be selected in 1997. My partner and I, Larry Strain and I, were selected to be the civilian consultants and operators of the 50th anniversary at Nellis Air Force Base, which is coincidentally where the first official Heritage flight went off. And that was a real opportunity. I was very pleased to be selected for that. It was a huge air show. At one time we had one aircraft stacked every 1,000 feet through flight level 190. So we had a bunch of airplanes out there, and it was really exciting to be able to do. I've done the CAF air show for 20-some-odd years. I've done Houston since it started. And then I've had the privilege of being the consultant and the air boss for several first-year shows. I've got two this year, this one in Jamestown, North Dakota. So I'm real pleased when they call up and say, we need help and, you know, will you help us? What they're looking for is a subject matter expert in what I call the in front of the crowd operations. And I'm pretty good at that. I don't want to lay out your ramp for you, and I don't want to get your vendor for you. There are other people that do that. But when it comes to in front of the crowd operations and the supporting thereof, I'm pretty good at that, and that's what I enjoy doing.
We'll return with more from veteran Air Boss Ralph Royce in a moment. I'm Paul Platt, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Do you feel stimulated? Hey, that's why Congress passed the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008, so loyal Americans like yourself would feel stimulated to help rev up the economy by spending money on important stuff like new Garmin avionics. We're talking potential tax incentives, bonus depreciation up to 50% in first-year cost allowances for qualified business use equipment purchases. See your tax advisor for guidance and your Garmin dealer for one whale of a stimulus package. It's almost like your patriotic duty, huh? Garmin, follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. Today we're listening to the reflections of veteran air show air boss Ralph Royce, excerpted from his recent interview with Aero TV. Taking responsibility for running a safe, punctual air show can be a challenge, especially when the organizations operating the events may or may not know the rules and regs, and every venue presents unique challenges.
I have arrived at a new air show after talking with them for weeks and saying, looking out and saying, where's the 500-foot line? And they look at you and you go, you know, you tell us about it, what do you mean 500-foot line? And you go, oh boy, we're at first base now. We're still at bat. We're not even at first base. And then you go to other shows like this one. They had a couple of issues, but they generally had it right. So there's a big mix. You don't know what you're going to get on a first time show. The military shows are interesting because they have a constant turnover of people, and base A will have a continuity book that is that thick, and they know the questions they ask, and they know where they're going to be short, and they have debriefs and hot washes and et cetera. Then other military bases aren't cognizant of what they need on a follow-on book or a continuity book. That's why we started air shows, Air Force Air Show Workshop at ICAS. The continuity was lacking. We were just moving people through so quickly. The air show chairman from one year would be gone and nobody knew where the next year. So we had that issue. On civilian air shows, the biggest thing I see is they don't really believe, or they wish they didn't have to believe, that the support manuals, especially for the team and single ship demos, you really need to follow them. And for some of the civilian teams, you really need to follow those support manuals. For a first show, and especially a water show, the town of Ocean City and Brian Lilly and his crew did very well. We learned a lot about this facility, as you do at any air show. But overall, from the first shows that I've done over the last 20-some-odd years, this one gets 4-0 marks. The beachfront show presents some interesting challenges. You don't have natural show lines. You have to create artificial show lines in the water with buoys that tend to move sometimes. And when you're using a runway that's 32 miles away, as we were for the jets, the timing becomes an issue. Thank goodness for cell phones. We could keep in touch that way. But other than the show lines and generally high rises along the beach, you really don't have many differences beyond that. We did this from the 10th floor of the hotel. That was very interesting. The only thing that we really had a problem with was on the second day we had that fog bank that just hazed us to death. But all in all, it went very well. You know what? I think air show safety is great. I really do. We haven't heard anybody in the crowd in over 50 years. I don't know how much over 50 years. I think we do an excellent job. We have designed our rules with the FAA and with the ICAS to where we're not going to hurt anybody in the crowd. What we do has a certain element of danger and risk. You cannot get around it. What we saw, what we think we saw, was that because of the competitiveness of air shows, that perhaps aggressiveness and showmanship had moved in front of safety in the consideration scale. It was, safety was moved back to the third burner instead of being on the front burner. And we're trying to move safety back to the front burner, where every act has a knock it off, every maneuver has an out. We're working towards that end. My role in it, I was on the safety committee for several years. I've been the chairman for a couple of years. The ACE committee and the safety committee worked together. And then 7 or 8 months ago, well, right after the convention, the board asked me to chair a committee to be a safety management, to develop a safety management program for ICAS. We've had our first meeting. We've even had some results of that already. And we have identified some areas that we think need to be vetted in the public domain via this kind of discussion through the Air Shows magazine and through various convention speakers that we'll have, that will help to move safety back into the forefront, or safety considerations into the forefront. We're getting more technologically smart. The radios are better. The wind equipment is better. The pyro is getting better and fancier, and it's all through technology. I think that question leads back to that. Did we let the keeping up with the times, you know, push us into moving showmanship in front of safety? You know, the younger people of today, their TV was a whole lot different from your and my TV. And they need action. They want to see risky business. We are keeping up with the times. I think we got a little bit behind the power curve on the risky business. But we also recognized it. And I think the industry reacted very quickly to it. The performers are on board with this safety management program. So far, most of the air show promoters and sponsors are on board with the safety management program. And I know all the operations type, my colleagues, we all want to see the safety management program be successful.
You can find the video version of this interview with Ralph Royce in the archives of aero-tv.net for November 17th and 18th. Find out more about the International Council of Air Shows at www.icashq.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.